Amen. It's good to see everybody out in a home group meeting tonight. Amen. Let's go ahead and this is a home group meeting for the month of March. And before we know it, it will be April. April will be here, and before we know it, half of the year will be gone. Amen. But it's good to see, again, everybody out. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with Wilderness Truths for Modern Times. This is number 31. And as we do, let's go ahead and kind of look at a couple of points from our last month's meeting. And I had some emails, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to kind of address a couple of emails and some questions that I got. Amen. So there are four quick points that I'm going to go ahead and look at to point our spirit back in the wilderness of Sinai with the children of Israel. Amen. Now, the first point that we looked at last month is, if there is to be continual approach to God, and that's God's intention for us, God intends for us to make this continual approach to Him, then there must be a concern for holiness in all areas of our life. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And you know what? He meant that. And so if we're going to make this continual approach to God, then there must be a concern in our lives for holiness in all areas of our life. Amen. The second point that we looked at is very, very important, and that is the judgment of God for correction will always and continually be applied to only those who are correctable. Amen. Only those that are correctable. The judgment of God for correction will always be and continually be applied to those who are correctable, no matter how bad that we are, no matter how evil that we have become. For those that are correctable, and of course being correctable depends not on God, but on us. Do we have a desire to come to the Lord? There's a lot of people that are not correctable. They just, you know, no matter what they do, they just turn their heart away from God, and they go on and go on, and God then will give them the desires of their heart, and they're in the hands of God. And that I have seen, you know, folks like that. Amen. And the third point is the longer correction is withstood in our life, the greater hindrance of spiritual growth and development in our life. The longer we resist correction, the longer we go, no, Lord, I don't want that, there's going to be a loss in our life. And what is lost is the work that God has been able to do in our life. When we ask the Lord to come minister to us, well, He doesn't come minister to our flesh. He doesn't come minister to our emotions. He comes to the amount of the Spirit of God that is in our life. And that's what He comes and ministers to. Well, the longer we go away from correction, the more of that Spirit of God in us is lost. Is lost. And that's very, very sad, and to the point that there will be no spiritual growth in our life. And then sadly, we're uncorrectable and we will fall away. And it's just, you know, a lot of people say, well, I could never lose my salvation. Well, the Bible's full of a bunch of people that have walked away from God. God is still there drawing them and saying, hey, stop, you know, come back. But they, in their, you know, in their foolishness, they just walk away, and that is their choice, amen? And the last point is, and this is what I got a bunch of emails about, and that was, as judgment is before mercy, so is judgment before a victory, amen? So is judgment before mercy. I mean, before the judge can say, I will give you this much mercy, there has to be a judging. And it's the same spiritual principle. There's always judgment before a victory. And I got a number of emails that actually kind of explain that. And I will give you a great example. The children of Israel, as we're talking about the children of Israel and the wilderness truths from modern times, is there was a great victory at the Red Sea. But before that great victory, and Miriam, not Marion, but Miriam, got her tambourine, and she danced, and oh, the horse and the rider, he cast into the sea. That was a great victory. But before that victory, God judged 600 chariots of Egyptians, and they watched the bodies roll up on the shore.
Same thing happened as the children of Israel, they were leaving to go in their exodus, and there were 10 plagues, the 10 plagues of the Pharaohs, and of course the last was the death of the firstborn. So there was a great judgment in those plagues, and then there was a great victory. Even as we are in the Easter, the Easter week, or Passion Week, or whatever, before Christ could have the greatest victory ever known to man. Amen? The greatest victory ever known to man, Christ had to be judged first.
Right.
It's a spiritual principle. He had to be judged. He had to be found guilty so he could go to the cross so that he could experience and we can experience the greatest victory ever known to man. And that's the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He conquered hell, death, and the grave. And so with his power in us, we can too. So that's some really good examples of how there's always judgment before a victory. But tonight we'll go ahead and we'll look at wilderness truths for modern times, and we'll look at an impartation. Amen. Exodus 33:14 says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony." Now notice it doesn't say the Ten Commandments. Is the tables of testimony in Moses' hand when he came down from the mount, that Moses was not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And of course, the shining of the face was God's glory. Moses did not know that his face was shining. And matter of fact, all the days of Moses' life, and most people don't know this, Moses had to wear a mask. He wore a mask across his face because his face constantly was shining. And when we stand within the glory of God, you know what we see? We see ourselves and the sin that was in us. Anytime we stand within the glory, the first thing that's going to happen is God's going to reveal our nature and our character to us. And they asked, Moses, cover your face. Moses had to wear an apron across his nose because constantly the glory of God radiated off of his face. And the people couldn't handle that. They said, "Oh, Moses, cover your face." And he wore a veil across his face to hide the, stunt the glory of God. But then again, wouldn't you have the glory of God if you stood 80 days? Remember, 40 days, Moses came down, right? Saw the golden calf. And what happened? Moses had to go back up for another 40 days. Moses stood 80 days in the presence of God, in the manifest presence of God. If we stand in the manifest presence of God, wow. Boy, that's powerful. That's powerful. Amen. Impartation. If God stops us in our tracks apart from correction, and that's what we talked about last week, it may be for a time of impartation. So there's many things moving in our life when God stops us. When we're moving and we're doing, and all of a sudden, in our spirit, God will stop us. That means He has something for us. Oh, I feel dry, and I feel like things aren't going right. Well, that's good. That means God is stopping you.
Right.
And when that happens, then we need to put our spiritual antennas up, We need to find out why God has stopped us. And so last week we learned about correction. So this week, it could be about an impartation. The impartation in this verse is in the glory of God. And of course, that was Exodus 33:14. That Moses did not know. He did not know that the skin of his face shined when he talked with him. Wow. Either correction or impartation or something in our life God has for us when He stops us. So when God stops us, and don't think that's bad. That's a good thing when God stops us. That means there's something that He wants to give us. There's something He wants to do new in our life. Impartation is the reason for God's drawing us into Himself. Every time God draws us unto Himself, it's not just to draw us. He doesn't want us just to come to Him so that we can come to Him. God always draws us to Him for a reason.
Right.
There's something He wants to do in us. There's something He wants to give us. He desires to wait on. He desires us to wait in His presence for the purpose of imparting His glory and His power. You know, a lot of people don't spend the time studying before the Lord. Just quietly with their mouth shut, you know. This is going to sound kind of funny. I enjoy when I go to work, Pastor Steve. I really enjoy when I go to work because Sneak's Ferry to where I work over at the middle school is about 45 minutes. And even though I can't, just sit there, you know, I still have to pay attention when I'm driving. But I just like to sit there in my car as I'm driving over to work.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting before the Lord. My mouth is quiet. I'm not praying. I'm not singing. I'm just sitting there. And in my spirit is going up. And the Lord is talking to me.
Wow.
We must accomplish this impartation in order to express himself to others through the ones who's receiving that impartation. Let me read that again. He must accomplish this impartation in us in order to express himself to others through the ones that's receiving the impartation. So as we wait before the Lord, and God stops us, he wants to impart something to us. And we must receive that so that we can give that so that others can can receive and share what God has given us. You know, if God gives us something, it's not for us. It's not for us. If God gives you $10, he expects you to give at least $5 away. If God gives you something, you should never ever spend it on yourself. If God gives you something, it's for somebody else. Have it be spiritually or physically. God always wants to give us things. He always wants to give us things that he expects us to give those to other people. A minister who waits in his presence before the service carries God's glory and power with him into the service. If we can stop as ministers and wait with him, Jesus says, could you not wait with me? Could you not wait with me for an hour? Wow. But if we can stop and we can wait with him and we can allow the Lord to impart some things to us, then we'll be able to walk into that service and we'll be able to give, you know, we'll be carrying God's glory and his power with us into the service.
Amen.
And then during that service, then we'll be able to impart what God has given us in that service.
Right.
We'll be able to receive from God and then we'll be able to impart. There'll be an impartation from us that which God has given us. But sadly, few ministers wait before the Lord to receive of his glory. Maybe that's why his glory is seldom seen in most churches. Because very few people, and I said ministers, but it could be anybody else, very few people wait. I remember I had a good friend of mine, I'll call him Brian, and we were living in Georgia, and we were talking. I was talking one day about waiting before the Lord, and he says, "What's that? What's waiting before the Lord?" And I said, "Well, I'll get up in the morning and I'll just sit on my couch, you know, and just sit there and won't read the Bible, won't pray. I'll just sit there with my big mouth shut, you know, and just be quiet." My teacher's teacher, Walter Buehler, would sit hours, would set days before the Lord. And let me tell you, wow. Some of the things, some of the glory, I mean, you know. But anyway, so I was talking to Brian, and so anyway, I said, "Brian, just try it." He said, okay, I'm going to try it. So anyway, I said, "All you got to do is just do nothing. Do nothing. If you want God's glory, you ready? Do nothing.
That's it.
Just get in his presence. Just sit there and let him do the talking." And he said, "Okay." So anyways, he was sitting there the next morning and all of a sudden, you know, and all you have to do is just start thinking in your spirit, allowing your spirit to go up and just pressing up your spirit. And he said he was sitting there, and for the first time in his life, and he's in a Pentecostal church now, and he said his hands just started shaking. He said he could not believe it, and his hands just shot up in the air, and he was just sitting there, you know, and he said he has never experienced something like something like that before. And it was just the glory of God. His spirit was just pushing up. So I became a really good friend of Brian's. Mm-hmm. Amen. He's a good guy. Amen. In Exodus 33:18-23, Moses expresses his desire to see the glory of God. Have you ever expressed your desire to see the glory of God? Wow. Now that's a prayer. That is a prayer. In Exodus 33:18, Moses said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me now thy glory. I will tell you, to see God's glory will cost you something. There's nothing free in God. Everything we get from God is going to cost us something. And I would imagine to see God's glory as Moses, it cost him 80 days not talking, standing there before the Lord. Wow. If this becomes a prayer of our heart, we may have to be brought to a standstill in order to have our prayer answered. That's why the Bible says to be still and know that I'm God. You know, if we can't be still, we'll never know God.
Right.
We gotta be still. But we're so busy. That, you know, we get in the car and the first thing we do is we turn the radio on. We put in our favorite Christian tape. Or you know, we start talking and we start doing all of the, you know, we just can't be still, you know. Am I right? I mean, maybe I'm the only person, but, you know, that's why I so enjoy getting in, you know. Believe it or not, Karen will call me. You know, I travel about 5 miles to the house, and she's already called me. Told me, don't skylark across that bridge, you know. But after she hangs up, I just sit there. I just sit there in my truck, and I'm just driving. You know, stopping at the lights, but I'm just sitting before the Lord. And it's just powerful. It's just so powerful. And so what happens when you pray? Well, God responds to Moses' prayer. He says this in Exodus 33:19, and he said, I will make my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. So it just wasn't one thing. So Moses has to see God's glory. And so God replies back, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Wow. It took more than Moses' natural vision to see the qualities that God was really talking about. It is one thing to see the manifestation of God's mercy and His love and His grace. And we see that, and we experience that. We see people that come to the Lord and, you know, it's all of these things, but it's quite another thing to see the qualities themselves. So we see mercy, and we see grace, and we kind of understand that, but to see the qualities of the mercy, but see the qualities of the love, to see the qualities of grace, that is something different altogether. And that's what Moses wanted to see, and God showed him that. Remember, we are moving toward Jesus, being conformed into His image, and not the provisions and the wonderful works of Jesus Christ. It seems today in the church that we all want more of the provisions and the wondrous works.
Right. Right.
Wow. Then we deal with Jesus. When is the last time you just prayed just for Jesus? No, I want a miracle, and I want this, and you know, and I want that. And Moses didn't want that. Moses didn't say, I want a miracle. He said, I want to see your glory. And God said, I will show you the qualities of my glory. Wow. That, I don't know about you, but that's powerful. Amen. We will get them, believe it or not. We will get those provisions and those wonderful things because God loves us, right? But we will never get God's best for our lives. When we ask for things instead of for God, He often will give us those things. But you know what? The thing that we need to ask for is more of God. Because that is the best for our life.
Amen.
The things that God gives us is not the best.
That's right.
He is the best.
Amen.
Wow. If our prayer is to see the invisible, then we must expect God to bring us to a halt and bring us apart from some natural and spiritual involvement. Moses was separated from all natural involvement. Have you ever been separated from natural involvement? When we were living in Germany, I traveled 31 hours one way on the train, and I spoke two words because I was going across all these countries and I couldn't speak their language. And it was just amazing. And I purposed just to sit there and just look out the window as we went across Germany, as we went across Austria, as we went across, it wasn't Albania, or I think I looked up. It was another country, and then went all the way across Romania. And I spoke two words, and it was just wonderful. God separated me from all this talking and all of this stuff, and it was just remarkable. Moses did not eat, he did not drink, and he did not sleep. God actually waited 6 days for Moses' body to be cleansed so that Moses would not have to be excused for a nature's call. Unless we can allow God to bring us to a halt, he will never be able to show us the invisible. Amen? Let me say that again. Unless God can bring us to a halt, he will never, ever be able to show us the invisible. Because the invisible is seen as we see God and his qualities, not in the natural. And we see those when God is able to get us aside, when we can turn aside and he can bring us to a halt. All we will know will be ourselves and our emotions. And that's what we see in the church, amen? God has never really been able to turn people aside like he did with Moses. And so now we are built on our emotions and our feelings and all of these things. But if we can allow God just to pull us aside and stop us and we can experience him, then we'll be able to see he who is invisible. Sweetheart, read Hebrews 11:27.
By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amen. So Moses, that's what he's talking about there in Hebrews 11:27. Moses, not fearing the king, was able to see he who was invisible. But where did he see he who was invisible? In the desert. In the wilderness. Not in the palace. You don't see God in the palace. You don't see God in the big times and everything is going hunky-dory and everything's well. But you see God in the wilderness. You see God in those very, very difficult times in our life. That which is impossible for man to see will be brought by God to man's spiritual vision. The unseen beauty of the Lord will be seen with the eyes of man's spirit. Our understanding and our sight, spiritual sight, does not happen with these two brown eyes that I have. Our understanding and our spiritual sight happens in our spirit. It happens in our spirit. And our spirit, believe it or not, is the essence of who David Stahl really is. And the essence of David Stahl can actually be seen in my thoughts. And in my words. Amen? The unseen beauty of the Lord will be seen with the eyes of man's spirit. We have these eyes in our spirit. When our body falls into the ground, our spirit will not be blind. That's an interesting thought. When these fleshly bodies fall into the ground, our spirit will be alive. Everybody's spirit will be alive. Sinners and saints alike. Because remember, everybody goes to heaven. Amen? People say, I want to go to heaven. Hey, brother, you're going to heaven. But the question is, are you staying? Everyone gets to go to heaven because everybody stands either at the white throne judgment or at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
One of those two judgment seats. Wait a minute. Judgment before victory?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how about that? even Christians, before they enter into the joys of the Lord. There's going to be a judging there. Wow, wow, wow. We see and we understand God by our spirit. That's why we worship God in spirit, or by, you know, by, with, through, is all translated the truth. So we understand God and we worship God in spirit and in truth. Maybe heaven then is a spiritual arrangement. One thing for sure though, it will take a correct spiritual understanding to see it. It will take a correct spiritual understanding to see that. Moses actually saw God's form. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. God promised Moses in the fulfillment. Moses saw goodness in form and heard it in identification. Moses was not able to explain what he saw. It was beyond his language. And even Paul testifies of this, 2 Corinthians 12:4, how that he was caught up into paradise. Isn't that interesting? He was caught up into paradise. You know, if Paul talks about the three heavens, he was caught up into paradise. Maybe the same paradise place that Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you shall be in paradise. I don't know. It could be that, or it could be the word paradise is something wonderful. He was caught up into something wonderful. And I think it's more that text, something wonderful, and not heaven, per se. It was just, he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words. Unspeakable words, which is not lawful to man to utter. Can you imagine that? Wow. Paul saw that and heard that, not with these ears and these eyes, but in his spirit. Mm-hmm. In his spirit. You know, the spiritual is more rewarding and real to us if we have eyes and have the right heart condition to be able to see these things. The spiritual is more rewarding if we have the right heart condition to see these things. It is so far above the natural that there is nothing in the natural realm to which it can be related to. Now, I can understand what, you know, Paul was, I can understand what Paul was talking to. The Bible says, ears have not, or eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard the things that God has prepared for us. I have no thought about this verse. I just can't imagine it. I just can't imagine it. But it happens in the wilderness. This is where Moses was. Moses was, had this, you know, had this experience in the wilderness. Hey, wow. It did not happen in green pasture, and it did not happen every day. Most of the time, God works with us on lower levels. Now, I'm gonna say some things, and you really gotta need to, you know, follow what I'm saying here. Amen. Most of the time, God works with us on the lower levels, not on the upper levels. We want to go up. We want to go up in God. But God has to work on the lower levels. In fact, scriptures is in the lower form, even in the natural and physical form. The scriptures, even though it's the anointed word of God, it's still on a lower level. That way, we all have the opportunity to see the goodness in the scripture. You know, they always, you know, the gospel must be brought down to the lowest common denominator. It must be. It must be brought down to the person that has little to no understanding of intellect or intelligence. And that way, everybody has a shot at salvation. Amen? The wilderness is the place we develop our spiritual abilities. And that's why, in Moses' life, God led him 40 years in this wilderness way. And also, 40 years on the backside of the desert when he was watching Jethro's sheep. You know, it's always amazing that Moses was mighty indeed in strength and word. And in his first 40 years, and then the second 40 years, God took all of that out of him. Mm-hmm. And when God found Moses, he couldn't even speak. Wow. The wilderness is the place where God develops our spiritual abilities, not our natural abilities. Most miracles also happen so that the most miracles happen so we can comprehend the natural. See that? Most miracles happen so that we can comprehend, you see, an arm grow out. You see somebody healed. We prayed for Linda and Buster tonight. The healing happens in the spiritual, but we comprehend it in the natural. We actually see the blind eyes open. We actually see all these things. But the healing actually takes place in the spiritual.
Right.
Wow. But God always, always goes ahead and He works through that natural level. He works in those lower levels. Amen. Things of God must be reduced for us children. Otherwise, we would never grow into wise adults. So God must say, I am your banner. I am your shield. I am the Lord who supplies all of your needs. Almost everything from God moves in this level so all of us can grab this truth. Not on an upper level, but on the lower level, so all is able to understand and grab that truth. And that is because truth truth must always be able to receive by all of the people at the same level. Hidden in the lower level language is the spiritual sublime. God will bring it through and beyond the lower level into the unknowable. He will transcend all that is high and noble in our culture and our language, and bring to the unknowable to the heart of man. You get that? He will transcend all that is high and noble in our culture and language and bring it to the unknowable, to the heart of man. He will instill it with man such mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now remember, the kingdom of God is not a place.
That's right.
It's not a place.
Right.
Jesus says, I come preaching the kingdom of God. And everybody said, all right. Yes, the kingdom of God. He's going to kick those Romans out of Israel. Yes. And Jesus goes, no. Because the Bible tells us the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The kingdom of God is a heart condition. You can't get a job in the kingdom of God. You can't. He will instill within man such mysteries of the kingdom of God that is man in a that man is at a loss to explain them. But that which man cannot speak will be communicated as light flowing from that life. I'm going to read that again. But that which man cannot speak, the things that Paul could not utter, it was unlawful. All of those things, all those spiritual things that Paul was, brought to him, that God was imparting, all of those things that he could not speak, they will be communicated as light flowing out from the life who received that impartation. So Paul was standing there, and he was taken up, and he was in paradise, and he was hearing all of these things, and he received all of those things, and it was being, and then after he received them, you know, a man can't get what they do not have. You know that, right? A man cannot give. If I said, Ram, I'm going to give you $10,000, and I'd love to give you $10,000 if I have it, but I don't have it, so I can't give it to you. And it's the same thing in the Spirit. Unless we've received something from God in the spiritual realm, then we can never give that spiritual item or gift to another person. So Paul received all of those things that he heard that was unlawful to hear. And then he gave those to the life. God hides before the eyes of the great and the mighty the truths of life. Purpose, fulfillment, all of these things in the person of Jesus Christ. That which God has shared of himself will be manifested in that human life and seen and felt by others. What God has given you He wants that to be seen and felt by others. Amen? All of those spiritual gifts and all of those things, God doesn't want us to keep those unto ourselves. God wants us to be able to receive those and then impart those into the lives of others. The love of God, His mercy, the grace of God, His faithfulness cannot be translated into terms. But God's qualities can be translated into a life. Can be translated into a life. That which is not understood and not able to know by the human mind is expressed by that life. All of those spiritual gifts that we receive, wow, they can be expressed into that life through us. Amen. God's goodness cannot be translated into words. No. But must be experienced in the exchange of life. Our life for His life. Our life for one another. As we lay our life down for our brothers and our sisters. No greater love that a man have that he would lay his life down for his brother. But Jesus wasn't talking about catching an arrow or a spear or a round. He was talking about laying his life down for his brother or sister. Seeing his brother or sister get that job instead of them.
Right.
You know, all of those intrinsic rewards. Amen? Jesus, the character, in Greek meaning impression of God, becomes the greatest example of this. It really does. Amen. Language in man's mind will limit communication of God's glory. The inner spiritual being of man breaks through these limitations. But even with this breakthrough, the glory of God is still limited to man. The reason for the limitation is that man and all of his spiritual qualities is finite, and God is infinite. Man does not have the capacity to contain all of the capacity of God. Wow, what a thought. Real limitness is only found in our spirit as we manifest God's loves to others. Limitless. How many songs have you heard? Limitless, I want to, all that, take the limits off and I'm going to run and I'm going to do all that stuff. Well, real limitless is only found in our spirit as we manifest God's love to others. We cannot hold God's glory. Who can hold God's glory? I can't hold God's glory. No, we cannot hold God's glory. We must be a throughput. It's a military term. Mm-hmm. A throughput. We can never hold God's glory. We just need to be a vessel where God's glory can flow through us out to the world. Some parting thoughts. God will give in a relationship to our abilities to hold His things. God will give in relationship to our ability to hold His things. Strong meat will kill an infant, just as Revelation was Adam's downfall. He was not able to handle all that the tree of knowledge of good and evil brought to him. Jesus says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's John 16 and 12. They were not able to walk under such a load. They could not carry nor sustain such a sublimeness. Moses and his limitations would not be given such a fulfillment of God as to render him inoperable. If God would have showed Moses His glory, Moses would have been through. That would have been it. But He could only show His goodness. Even though He stood in the manifest presence of God for 80 days and His glory shone on Him, but if God showed Moses His glory, that would have been it. He'd have been through. It may have even killed him. But it would certainly have made him inoperable. And God needed him to lead the children of Israel because of the Bible. God said Moses was the most humblest man in the world. Wow. That's why God chose Moses. Because most men would have wouldn't have put up with all the children of Israel put up. I don't think I would have. Amen. Little by little, God brings the infant into the strength to sustain heavier revelation. Little by little in our life, God brings the infants into strength to sustain heavier revelation. Our ability to hold and release depends on our hunger. Our ability to receive from God and to release what we receive from Him depends upon our hunger and our ability to die to ourselves. Mm-hmm. The more we can die to ourselves, to our selfishness, our self-seeking and all of those things, the more of God's glory and God's ability we'll be able to take into our lives. So if we have no desire to die to ourselves, we have no desire to die to our abilities and our dreams and our plans and our strength, then we'll never ever be able to receive anything from God. Amen. That's why learning builds on learning. And this requires learning to learn. Amen. This requires learning to learn. The revelation is progressive. This progressiveness can be seen and traced in the Bible from Genesis throughout Revelation. The revelation of God to man is like an ascending stairway. One step up, the next step up, the next step up, and on it goes, one step at a time. This method is not suitable to man. We want to go ahead and run a couple steps, right? We want to go step, you know, get it done. But that's not the way it works in God. In God, it is one step at a time. This is why God said to Moses, in so many words, you will see only so much at this time, and no more, and no more. Corinthians 13:12 said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now in part, but then shall I know, even also I am known. We are to be content to have something which is a mystery, without expecting and without pressing to know what God has known, intention, or revealing to us. Wow, now this is important right here. We are to be content to have something which is a mystery, without pressing to know what God has no intention of revealing to us at this time. We want to run the steps and, you know, all of this good stuff, but that's not what God wants in our lives. Knowing what God wants us to know ought to be enough. Knowing what God wants us to know ought to be enough. But there's this push and turn. I want to know this, and I want to know this truth, and I want to know that truth, you know. In truth, it really doesn't matter what truth you know. Because Corinthians tells us that we know all truths. If we have not love, then we're tinkling brass and the sound being simple. So knowing all truth is not the most important thing. The most important thing is having a love for the truth. If we have a love for the truth, then we will know the truth that God wants us to know. And that ought to be enough. Because I like serving a God I can't figure out. Isn't that nice? I can't figure out God. And you know what? I tried, and I couldn't do that, so I just stopped. And I decided it is wonderful serving a God, because if I could figure out God, then I wouldn't kind of need Him. And, you know, I know how He operates and how He functions, and so I, you know. But I just like serving a God that I can't figure out. And I've just purposed in my heart that knowing what He wants me to know is enough. And down the road, if He wants me to know more, glory be to God. As it comes to our advantage to knowing certain things, it is also to our advantage not to know certain things. There are some things that you need not know. And it's for your benefit. The unknown things will reveal to us when we are in the proper place in God, and with the suitable strength to receive and properly carry them.
Amen.
The things that we don't need to know, we don't need to know them. And when we have the strength, we've been strengthened with might in the inward man, as Paul says, and we have the ability to carry them, then God will be able to reveal them to us. But until then, we don't need to know that. God only gives us His things when we know how to use them and we are able to carry them. Until then, our job is to wait and hope. Wait for the Lord and just hope. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God knows. God knows what we need. And we just need to rest in that. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for your love and your many blessings, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight, Father, Lord. And as it goes out on the internet, Father, Lord God, when it's uploaded to our website, Father, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, Father, Lord. It's touching many lives and many people and just enjoy it so, Father. And Lord, I would ask that you would just bless this word, Father, Lord God. And Lord, it will just touch lives, Father, Lord God, and they will see the truths, Father, Lord God, and there will be spiritual growth and development in lives. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord, for we love you and we just thank you, Father, Lord God. I thank you for this time of coming together, Father, Lord God. It's just wonderful, Father, Lord, and we just thank you and we praise you, Father. We just love you, Father, and we thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.